He's so faithful. He's so good. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Father, we just thank you for your word today. We thank you for what you're doing in us. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I just feel it so strongly in my heart. I'm just going to do it. I don't want to embarrass you, but Melinda, would you come up here? I want to pray for you. Come on up. Father, I just thank you for this woman of God. I thank you for touching her. I thank you, Lord, that the visions that you've given to her will come to pass. Lord, I just speak to everything that's going on in her life. Lord, I thank for a supernatural abundance of provision in Jesus' name. Lord, I just kick the door open that she's asked to be kicked open. And in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for blessing her. I thank you for strengthening her. I thank you for filling her even today with your Spirit in Jesus' name. And those things that you've shown her in secret, Father, will soon come to pass, and everybody will see and be amazed. And I thank you, God, for touching her right now by your Spirit in Jesus' name. I thank you, God, for the blessing, the called out one, Lord, the one that you are sending, Father, to people who need to hear what she has to say. And Lord, I thank you for supernatural favor that she has because of her relationship with you. And that causes her to have a relationship with men and women, Lord, that she is not even familiar with. Lord, I thank you for going before her, sending angels out over her, and in Jesus' name, fill her, even again right now, with your Spirit. Fill her with your peace. Fill her with your love. Fill her with your power right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Matthew chapter 13. But before we get there, we may never get there. Let me just be honest with you. We may never get there. But I saw a Facebook post this week, and it's by somebody that I know and I care about. And, well, let's just say it wasn't very flattering toward God. I'm just going to leave it at that. And I thought, dear Lord, how do we get to these people? Right? Because our job is, did you know what your job is, what your calling is? To go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to all creatures, that all of them would get to know Jesus, right? Whose call is that? That's my call. That's your call. All who believe, right? And these signs will follow. But I got to thinking, Lord, this almost seems impossible. But then I remembered. Not too long before I got saved, I had a girlfriend that went to this Bible study, and I literally said this. I might have used different words, but I used this where I said, it's all right for you to go, but don't bring that crap home to me. Right? I want to hear about the Bible. I don't want to hear about any religious stuff. I just don't want to hear it. It wasn't a couple months later that I heard it. Right? And I've been affected by it ever since, right? Because I was totally changed. So here's what I'm saying is that don't give up on people that look too far gone, because all they are is an experience with God away from making a different decision. Right? And in this hour, we can't look at America, we can't look at the news, we can't look at that and go, oh my God, things are terrible. They are terrible, but God, right? But one decision, one move of God, one answer from God can change their whole lives. So I don't care how demon-possessed they seem, how far they are from God, just remember that their souls are so important that we need to fight for them on our knees. Right? And by loving them, by asking God for signs and wonders, hallelujah. Because I don't believe we're going to win this generation with our words. I think there has to be signs and wonders and supernatural events that happen in their lives that one day they'll be like, oh man, they're so far gone. And then the next day they'll be, right? Another category, we all know people who at one time were filling the chairs of churches. And now they're out there, and if you look on their Facebook posts and whatever, you think, my word, what happened to them? How far gone are they? It's almost like some of them, it's like they're into witchcraft and all kinds of different things. How did they get there? But the condition is called the backslider, and I believe that there's a way back for a backslider, and I believe that God can touch the backslider, and we've got to not look at them and go, oh, how did they get there? But God, we're praying to you for them to get back here in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just want to thank you and praise you that you have a plan and a purpose and you're not giving up on them. And so, Father, we just ask you to be the shepherd that goes after the one. Leaves the 99, go after the one, Lord, and just call out their name when you're praying for them and just say, come back in Jesus' name. Father, they were hurt. Something happened. You know, all things got twisted, God, but you can touch them again. You can reveal yourself to them again. Come on. We have to be a praying church. We have to be a believing church. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on. I know we all know people like that. Don't give up on them. I said, don't give up on them. Eternity is at stake, right? Eternity is at stake. Hallelujah. I don't want one person that I know to go to hell. But the Bible is very clear that those who are outside of Jesus don't have an opportunity to be in heaven. But here's what I know, that if God would reveal Himself to them in such a way that they knew the love of God and they saw the love of God tangibly written on their hearts, who wouldn't want it? Glory to God. So let's keep praying. Amen. Let's keep believing. There's nobody impossible, right? Nothing is impossible to those who believe. So we need to be believing for those who seem impossible. Right? Speaking His Word over them. Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but I'm not paying any attention to it. Because I see you clothed and cloaked in the love of God and the armor of God and the glory of God. Hallelujah. I'm holding on to the promises that said, if you raise up a child in the way that they should go, when they're old, they'll not depart from it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so I'm trusting that. I'm believing that for not just my biological children, but I've had a lot of children come through this church. Amen. And every one of them is attached to me in some way or another. And I'm not letting go of one of them. Amen. Hallelujah. Did you find Matthew chapter 13? Hallelujah. I've titled this Time to Garden. It's time to garden. It's spring. Look at the day out there. Everything is great. You know, we were out yesterday doing some things at the house, and it's just beautiful. But there's a spiritual time to garden, and I think it's time right now. Amen? So let's look at verse 1. It says, on the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered together to Him so that He got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore, and He spoke many things to them in parables, saying. Now, when it says multitude, most translators or most dictionaries that you go is a crowd of anywhere from 5,000 to 10,000 people. So this wasn't just a little crowd, but it was a big crowd. And it's interesting that He got in a boat and He went out a little bit. Have you ever been on a lake property and hear the voices from across the lake? Because it's some things you don't want to hear, but you hear them anyway, but because it carries. And so Jesus was using this natural amplification system to preach this to the multitudes. I find that interesting. And so look at what He says. He said, behold, the sower went out to sow. And he sowed some seed and fell upon the wayside. Bird came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground, and yielded a crop, 100, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. 5,000 people listening to this. And he says, those who have ears to hear, let them hear. How many here want to have ears to hear? Right? Because we can be part of the ones that say, well, you know, that was a nice message, bless God. But we don't really hear what he's saying. You know, we have to have our spiritual ears on to hear. And sometimes we can have so many distractions from what the Holy Spirit is trying to say to us that we've got to force ourselves to get back to the position that I believe that the Holy Spirit is my teacher. I am the sheep of the shepherd. I know his voice and the voice of a stranger. I will not follow, even if it seems like it's been years since you've heard or months since you've heard or, God, where are you? You've got to get back to the place to know that if I have ears, I will hear. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Hallelujah. But listen to this. And then his disciples came to him and said, why do you speak to them in parables? Lord, why don't you just talk a little more plain? Tell them how it is, Jesus. Right? And listen to what he says. He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Those who are with Jesus, it's been given the power, the ability, the desire, God's plan for you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. I don't know about you, but that excites me. It means I'm not on the outside looking in. And really, look at it. It's not my degree or my PhD or my theological education that gives me entrance to the knowledge of the kingdom of heaven. It's my relationship with Jesus. Hallelujah. And my faith and my knowing that I have ears to hear what he's saying. Come on. So I don't know what you need today. I don't know what you need to hear today. But the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And it's not only with you, but it's in you. But you need to say, Lord, I just have ears to hear whatever you want to say. I'm ready to hear it. I'm ready to hear it. But it's been given to me to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And mysteries here doesn't mean things that are just out there floating. It means hidden things now revealed. Right? So, Lord, I don't know what you have for my future, but I part and I have ears to hear what you want me to do. So, God, I'm not worried about 10 years from now. I'm just worried about focusing on what's right here, right now. Amen? And just start stepping in Jesus' name. Start stepping in Jesus' name. Verse 12 says, for whoever has, to him more will be given. Who has in here? Has anybody got anything in here? Has anybody ever heard from God in here? Does anybody have ears in here? Well, listen, there's more to come. Let me say that one more time. There's more to come. Yeah, but you know, I'm this age or I'm that age or I'm not this or I'm not that. Listen, if you're born again, if you're a child of God, if you heard the Holy Spirit draw you to Jesus, there's more to come. Woo! Glory to God. I'm not finished yet, and He's not finished with me. And I just want to tell you, I'm part of the kingdom of God. I'm a servant of the King. I'm an ambassador for the kingdom, and there's more to come. There's more to come. For whoever to him who's been given, he will have more abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. I don't want to be that guy or that gal. Right? Come on. It's like, Lord, anything that you want to give me, I'm ready. I want it. But I have to have ears to hear in order to get it. Because I'm not going to get it through the natural mind. I'm only going to get it through my spirit man listening to what God is saying to me. The Bible says that the natural things, you know, or the spiritual things are foolishness to natural man. Right? In other words, you're not going to figure out the kingdom with your pea brain. Right? But we don't, this is the good news. When I got born again, my spirit man became brand new. And on the inside of me dwells the teacher of the church. And the teacher of the church, his job is to reveal everything that the Father has done through Jesus Christ, which are the keys to the kingdom of heaven. It's time to garden. It's time to ask for the seeds, to plant the seeds, to sow the seeds. Come on. Hallelujah. Verse 13, therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. So quit worrying about those people that think you're weird because you believe the Bible. They just don't see yet. I said, they just don't see yet. And they don't hear yet. And they definitely don't understand yet. I say yet because I'm believing for every one of them to be in the same position that I'm in. That they know that they know that they know that they know that the Spirit of God is real and that God loves them and that their only way for them to be content in life is through a relationship with my friend, my Savior, my Lord, my big brother, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Woo! Glory to God. Watch this now. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and you shall not understand. Now let me just give you this picture. Again, he's out in the boat. He's speaking to them, and there's 10,000. Then he gets with his disciples and he's saying this. This is the prophecy. Why? Because there was a lot of religious people in that crowd. There were a lot of people who thought they knew everything about God and that they were God's favorite and all of that because of their knowledge and because of whose family they were born into or what tribe they were with and all of those kind of things. And he said, listen, here's the prophecy. They're going to hear, but they're not going to understand. Sometimes I think we got to just go before God and say, Lord, if there's any religious spirit in me, if there's anything that's keeping me from hearing, I want that out of my life because I don't want to be one of these people who hears but doesn't understand. Verse 15 says, for the heart of this people has grown dull. Oh, Lord, don't let my heart grow cold. This is a verse of a song that we sing. Don't let my heart grow cold. Lord, I refuse to become cold where your things come in. And I'll just be honest with you. There's times when you go through stuff, and all of us do, where it's kind of like, oh, God, where are you? And I don't know if you've ever had this thought, but I've had a thought once or twice where, Lord, is what I believe really true? I rebuke that really fast, but the reality is I know that He lives on the inside of me. It's this old song, I know He lives because He lives in me, right? And because He lives, I can face tomorrow, right? Because He lives, all fear is gone because I live. But we have to get to the place where we say, Lord, examine my heart. As David said, if there's anything hidden in there that's not supposed to be there, Lord, you show me and I'll do whatever it takes to get that out because I don't want my heart to be cold. I don't want it to be dull. I don't want it to not be in a position to hear. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Verse 15, their hearts of the people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. I hate to admit it, but the older I get, the quieter people become. I just don't understand it, right? It's something. But in the spirit, my ears are tuned in Jesus' name. Their ears are hard of hearing and their eyes have become closed. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears. Lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. In other words, listen, everything you need to be healed is within your grasp if you'll open your heart and you'll listen to Him, and if you'll do what He tells you to do, and if you'll let His kingdom become your kingdom, God is there to heal the brokenhearted. He hasn't changed His mind. He's the one that's ready to give sight to the blind. He's the one that's there to open the ears of the deaf. And God, I just thank You that we are candidates for that right now, because we're going into the garden season. It's time to garden. Verse 16 says, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and for your ears, for they hear." I think that'd be a good confession for you just to walk around. My ears are blessed. My eyes are blessed. Because I'm with Christ and He's in me. My ears are blessed and my eyes are blessed. I'm telling you right now, I've got blessed ears. I've got blessed eyes. Because I hear what the Spirit of God is saying. I know the voice of my Father. I will not be entertained by anybody else, because I know Him and I will not be swayed. But I have blessed ears and I have blessed eyes. Oh, glory to God. I can see clearly now, the rain is gone, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Verse 17, "For surely I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." You ever thought about that? Has anybody ever had the thought, boy, when I get to heaven, I can't wait to talk to Moses. When I get to heaven, man, I can't wait to talk to Adam and say, what were you thinking? But, you know, or talk to Elijah, or talk to David, or talk to any of those folks. Did you know that they're going to run up to you and say, I want to talk to you. What was it like having the Holy Spirit live on the inside of you? We weren't capable of operating in the kingdom the way that you were. Come on, isn't that something? Yeah, I believe that's true. I believe, glory to God. We were waiting for that. And you're the fulfillment of that. You know, the Bible says that throughout eternity, you're going to be the trophies or examples or the awards of the glory of God. In other words, His grace has been displayed in you, and He's going to be forever going, see? See what my grace did? They received my grace. They're here because they received what I gave them for eternity. Whew, glory to God. Glory to God. The Old Testament saints didn't have what we have. They couldn't see what we can see. They couldn't hear what we can hear. Glory to God. Everybody say this with me. I have ears to hear. I have eyes to see. My heart is open. Holy Spirit, teach me, guide me, train me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Verse 18, "Therefore, hear the parable of the sower." Are you ready? Hear the parable of the sower. "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom as does not understand it, the wicked one comes and snatches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside." In other words, lots of people that hear the word of God, but they never yield to it at all. I want to just encourage you, though. We're not the ones who get to determine who those people are. Here's your job. Sow seed. Sow seed. Sow seed. Because you don't know the condition of the heart into which you're sowing the seed. Jesus was the sower in this parable in Matthew, but I believe that I, being in Christ, am now the sower of this seed today. Who do I need to sow it to? I need to sow it in the ground that it doesn't even take. I need to sow it in the ground that takes it but then throws it out. I need to sow it in the ground. It takes, it runs for a while, but things happen and they leave. But I'm also knowing and believing that I'm going to sow it in the soil of hearts that will receive it, that will hear it, and it will grow in them a hundredfold in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. We must have ears to hear. We must strive to know. We must make sure that we have hearts that are soft. And just so you know it, every Thursday, Josh prays for your heart to be softened. That's one of the things that he prays. When we pray together, his prayer requests are for softened hearts. Why? Because he wants you to hear. Thank you. Thank you, Josh. Hallelujah. Don't mix the world with the kingdom. You got to receive the word. Come on, listen. Verse 19, and anyone who hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the wicked one comes, snatches it away, and which was sown in his heart, he is who has received the seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it all with joy, yet has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of this word, he immediately stumbles. Let me tell you how that works. How many have been in a meeting where God is moving and you're just so pumped because you've been touched by God? Right? Awesome. Hallelujah. And then Monday happens. Right? Or Tuesday happens. Or Wednesday happens. And you start feeling some of the weight that you were carrying that was lifted off. And instead of saying, oh no, sucker, I'm not taking you back. I'm going to stay within the kingdom of God. You begin to let it come back and it just begins to steal what God has put in there. Never again, Lord. Never again. We have to have root in ourselves. What root? We have to go deep into the fact that I believe God. I believe His Word. I'm going to stand on His Word no matter what happens. Even if I'm in the midst of pain, I'm still going to believe that He's my strength. He's my comfort. He's my joy. I refuse to do anything else. I refuse to give in to worry. I refuse to give in to stress. Because He said I don't have to. He said the joy of the Lord is my strength. He told me to be anxious for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let my requests be made known to God. And the peace of God would guard my heart and mind through Christ Jesus. And so therefore, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, think on these things. Meditate on these things. The answer for stress is what you're thinking about, not what you're going through. That's free. Hallelujah. So what do we need to think about? We need to think about what the Word says, because it's the Word that's sown in our heart, but we have to keep it there by enforcing what we know into our lives rather than letting life dictate what we see and what we have. Glory to God. I refuse to be blue. I refuse to be down. I refuse to be sad. Glory to God. And man, I've been through some sad things. Right? I've watched some sad things. Hallelujah. Just this week, I was there when my good friend, pastor friend, went home to be with Jesus. You know, I was there. I mean, I didn't see him take his last breath, but I saw him, you know, before and after. As many of you have been in that situation, I've been it many times. But here's the hard part for me, is I know that he's with Jesus. But then I have to leave his spouse of 48 years alone at some point. And I can't, you know, even though I'll be there to support whatever I can, they have to be alone. Even though she's saved, she knows she's saved, there's still that feeling, you know, that that's hard for me, but I have to know that God is with them and that God's going to take care of them and that God's going to supernaturally show them in a way out and that He's for them, right? But I refuse to be depressed about that. Sad, yes, sadness comes, but I speak to myself and I begin to talk to myself and I begin to see Him as the Bible declares that He is. He's in heaven. The minute that His body gave out, He was present with the Lord. And there's joy and there's peace and there's safety and there's no more fear. There's no more stress. He is dancing on streets of gold right now. And He'd be mad at me if I raised Him from the dead. I'll just say that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Whew. Verse 22 says, "Now he who receives seeds among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." What I want you to know today, we're in the garden season, so there may be some weeds that you need to throw out. There may be some doubt that you need to get out. There may be some attitudes that you need to change because we're in the garden season because we want to produce everything in the kingdom that has been described as ours. Are you with me this morning? Glory to God. It's time to garden. I said it's time to garden in my life, in my heart, in my being. It's time to garden. I got to quit worrying about the way things look and perceive the way things are. Right? Even though it may look like this and it may look like that, I got to just believe that God's with me. He's for me. He's the same God who brought me this far. He's not going to let me down. He's not going to leave me. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's for me. He's with me. Glory to God. I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at this. I want to be this last one in verse 23. But he who receives seed on good ground is he who hears the word, understand it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 30, or some 100, some 60, and some 30. I want to be that good ground. But here's what I know about seed that is sown. If you pull it up and pluck it up every minute to see if it's growing, it will die. So oftentimes we have the Word of God, a promise of God, that we planted in our hearts, and it's not working. I better dig that up. God, how come it's not working? You said the joy of the Lord is my strength and I feel lousy today. Why isn't it working? No. You water it instead of pulling it up. Let me say that over here. I said, you water it instead of putting it up. What does that mean? You take the word that contains the promise that was sown in your heart and you begin to say it to yourself over and over again. Yeah, I'm not denying that this is the situation, but this is what He said. Right? Right? It doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter what happens to me. I know that the kingdom of God is on the inside of me. I know that I have His joy, I have His peace, I have His love. And watch this, even if the world goes crazy, I don't have to. How many have read this thing? Right? If you've read this thing, that you know that there's coming a day when Gog and Magog is going to come down and into the Kidron Valley and is going to come to the place of Armageddon and they're going to come against Israel. And so when you see nations against nations and the things that are going on even today, it's like, oh, that's so bad. Oh, that's so bad. Listen, He already told us that was going to be the case. What's our position? God, it doesn't matter what they're doing. What matters to me is what I'm doing. And what I'm doing in the midst of it all, I'm going to praise You. I'm going to worship You. I'm going to thank You. I'm going to be in the place where You can produce in me the things that the Word that has been sown in my heart is supposed to produce. And I want the 100-fold return. Glory to God. I'm not talking about finances. I'm talking about joy. I'm talking about peace. I'm talking about love. I'm talking about all of that. I want that 100%. So that when others look at me, they see what the fruit of seed sown can produce. Are you with me? It's time to garden. It's time to garden. So if there's bitterness in your heart, get it out. Yeah, but you don't understand. No, you don't understand. If there's unforgiveness in your heart, get it out. Right? If there's sadness and depression, and who are you serving? Right? I'm not saying you haven't gone through sad things. I'm not saying there aren't knuckleheads in your life. Right? I'm not saying any of that. But there's also the Savior, the God of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, who's in your life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Ain't no grave gonna tie this body down. Ain't no grave. Come on. Come on, come on. Ain't no war gonna take this peace from me. Come on. Ain't no pain gonna take Jesus from me. Hallelujah. I got the joy of the Lord in my heart. I got His peace, I got His love, I got His understanding. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I got the Holy Ghost living in me. Hallelujah. Come on, He's my protector, He's my provider, He's everything that I want, He's everything that I need. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. In James it says you can't just hear the Word, you've got to do the Word, right? So if it says it, I'm doing it. And if you don't like it, I'll pray for you, right? I'm just going to pray for you, because I'm going to have joy even when I come to you to be there for you. I'm not going to let what you're going through steal the joy that's in me. Hopefully I can pass it on to you and help you through the grieving process. I'm not saying that's not there, but we don't grieve like those who have no hope. It's different in us. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, let's close in prayer. If I could have the worship team come up. Father, we just come to you right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I can't be another person's gardener, but Lord, I can in my own heart. And in my own heart, Lord, right now, if there's any bitterness, Lord, show that to me. If my heart has become dull, Lord, wake it up, Lord. I'm just coming to you to ask you, God, to put that joy of my salvation back into me, Lord. I'm thanking you, Lord, for the closeness of a relationship that I have with you in Jesus' name. If you're listening, you're here, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, it's time right now to do it. Come on. And if you're away from Him, come back to Him and just begin to declare His praises, and He will reveal Himself to you. For the kingdom of God is at hand. It's in you. Just come to Him and He'll talk to you in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's all stand and just worship Him in the room. And if you need prayer for anything, that same anointing that has been displayed so many times is still here. He'll heal bodies. He'll deliver you from depression. He'll deliver you from whatever the enemy's attacked you with. We see victory in Jesus. Amen. Amen, amen, amen.